So meanwhile, though, the questions obviously can continue over the president's fitness and ability to win the election and to govern another 4 years. Democrats set to huddle again today in Washington to discuss this, as they did, what, a couple days ago?
The unfortunate situation is that the margin of error now is so slim that even one little hiccup in an answer back to a reporter today is going to be under the microscope and amplified.
I was going to use that exact word, amplified.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Today at 4:30 p.m. Central Time, President Biden expected to hold a news conference after wrapping up the three-day NATO summit in Washington. He will take questions from reporters in this setting for the first time this year. What's at stake? This is from CNN. Nothing less than Biden's hopes of a second term will be on the line at the news conference exactly 2 weeks after his incoherent and dazed debate performance sent his campaign into freefall. It's the latest in a series of public events that have turned into excruciating examinations of Biden's health and cognitive capacity, during which any slip or confusion could trigger political disaster. That's not Fox News. That's not a conservative think tank. That's CNN evaluating what's at stake here today for the president. More on his slowly fading support here in a moment. First, let's do some stuff on NATO here. The president hosting NATO leaders at the White House offered a toast at the dinner.
The allies in this room not only share a common language, don't share a common language. We do not share a common border, but we are neighbors. We're neighbors because we all share common beliefs in dignity, equality, democracy, and freedom.
The president already pledging additional air support for Ukraine. Big topic of substance at the meetings, of course, that war in Ukraine. President Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine, kind of the star of the show.
President Zelensky met with the Senate's top Democrat, Chuck Schumer, and top Republican Mitch McConnell Wednesday.
President Zelensky.
He's on a mission to the nation's capital to ensure continued support for Ukraine in its defense against Russia, even as more aid faces an uncertain future if former President Donald Trump returns to the White House. Zelensky also meeting with Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson.
He did. Yes, he did.
It's the first time those two have met in person since Johnson risked his speakership to pass more than $60 billion in aid for Ukraine over the objections of some in his party. Jay O'Brien, ABC News, Washington.
So meanwhile, though, the questions obviously can continue over the president's fitness and ability to win the election and to govern another 4 years. Democrats set to huddle again today in Washington to discuss this, as they did, what, a couple days ago?
The unfortunate situation is that the margin of error now is so slim that even one little hiccup in an answer back to a reporter today is going to be under the microscope and amplified.
I was going to use that exact word, amplified. And so many more people will now be watching and paying attention.
And what's driving the White House crazy is that on the other side, you know, Trump says some things almost every day that can be considered newsworthy or eyebrow raising or what, you know, whatever it be. And
zero attention.
No mention.
It can't get a headline because all the focus is on this. The first Democratic senator to publicly break ranks, Vermont Senator Peter Welch, publicly calling on the president to withdraw from the race. And the president is losing Hollywood. Megastar Democrat supporter George Clooney with an op-ed published by the New York Times, ABC's Rachel Scott.
Clooney writes, "It's devastating to say it, but the Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago at the fundraiser was not the Joe Biden of 2010. Clooney was blunt. We are not going to win in November with this president. On top of that, we won't win the House, and we're going to lose the Senate."
So Hollywood, a bigger deal than it may seem on its surface, right? It's money, and it's high-powered influencer support.
Sure.
You know, many of the Hollywood elite are big-time donors, or at least they attract big-time donors, right? You have a fundraiser, and the likes of Clooney are going to be there. That brings in more people, right? And then on top of that, you know, you have an entire segment of the country that gets 100% of their news from TikTok. Right? Mm-hmm. And they are the influencers in that space, driving votes, driving turnout, all of that. If there's a void there, that could be a problem as well. In sports terms, would you call the president's news conference tonight a must win?
Yeah, I'd say that's safe. I mean, if it's a draw only what prevents what likely will happen down the road.
Prolongs it, but a must win.
Yeah, prolongs it,
4:30 p.m. Central Time. 6:16 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
You know, it was about 24 hours ago when you said that something was going to happen on Wednesday. You said that the Pirates may have blown out the Brewers
12-2 on Tuesday.
But you know what's going to happen? The Pirates are going to struggle to even get a hit or a run the next day. And sure as you say that, there it is.
Always happens.
A good old fashioned
barrel roll.
Barrel roll it was. Brewers win 9-0. 9-0. And starter Tobias Myers just masterful. 8 innings, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. No runs. Skipper Pat Murphy says it was a team effort, though, starting with catcher William Contreras guiding him through it.
Contreras from the first inning kept adjusting with him, and then he found his stuff again. Third or fourth inning, he found his stuff, and you know, we played great defense behind him. We hit in the clutch. We scored a ton of runs with 2 outs.
The game officially put away with this Willie Adames Tater in the 8th.
1-2. Fly ball down the left field line. This is going to be a goner, a home run for Willie. A 3-run shot makes it 9-0. Just did tuck it inside the pole.
Oh, how the
play
pendulum swings. How the pendulum swings on this fine day. There it is. Good old-fashioned boat race. So on the hill today for the Pirates, Paul Skenes. So this is that rookie phenom.
Yeah, you like this kid.
Oh, he's amazing. Some of the things he's able to do with the baseball. And he made the news earlier this week because on his first time getting to AmFam as like an actually established starter, he got to meet his guy, Bob Uecker. He always wanted to meet Uke. And Uke talked about their meeting during the broadcast.
He asked about the roof.
Mm-hmm.
If I had seen any of the mechanism. He did want to know. Swing and a bouncer, hit to second. Durang has that, and that is the end of that conversation.
What are we missing in this story? What? Why is that funny?
For some reason, they talked about the roof, it sounds like. And Uecker was having his way with it. Not sure what that happened. Anyway, he's on the hill for the Pirates this afternoon. Day baseball here on WDTMJ.
Paul Skenes.
At 6:23 on this Thursday morning, maybe it's due to the increased scrutiny and attention. Maybe it's just that these things take time. But the family of a man who died at the downtown Milwaukee Hyatt Hotel while being held by hotel security is at least getting a response from the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office.
To see them beat him repeatedly over and over and over again, and they didn't stop. They could have stopped. They could have let him go, and they didn't.
It is Devontae Mitchell's wife, Deasia Harmon, at a downtown rally and march Wednesday. She is reacting to video that she, family attorneys, and others say they were able to view in a meeting that they had earlier in the day with the District Attorney's Office. The results of that meeting, not everything they want. In fact, it feels more to me like we don't know yet, but kind of like the DA's office is saying, we see you, we hear you, we have this meeting with you, we're sharing with you, we're being open, which I think is at least fair because they have more work to do. Let me bring you up to speed on the story. This morning, still no decision on whether charges would be filed against one or more of those security officers who held the man down at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. That man, Devontae Mitchell, died.
Everybody should have trained police and quasi-police authorities that you don't put knees on necks and backs because it causes asphyxiation. It causes people to suffocate.
A nationally known civil rights attorney, Ben Crump, in town in Milwaukee this week with Mitchell's family demanding accountability. These 4 security guards were engaged with Mitchell. They removed him from the hotel. He was accused of entering the women's bathroom. And that interview there with Attorney Crump was with Tory Lowe on 101.7 The Truth. He also was speaking with TMJ4 News at the rally Wednesday.
I am so proud of the moral-minded community here in Milwaukee who are standing up and saying, this isn't right.
So the video, definitely hard to watch. Many suggesting it's reminiscent of the George Floyd death, where you have multiple security personnel. They were holding Mitchell face down. At least one appears to have his knee on Mitchell's neck, which is why you heard Attorney Crump talk about that. But Just because the video is hard to watch doesn't mean there was a criminal act. Attorneys for the family want charges filed now. DA's office is saying we're not there, at least not yet. We talked about this with Dr. Ken Harris. Preliminary cause of death in the case for the Milwaukee County Medical Examiner is homicide. DA's office says it's conducting a homicide investigation. But we point out again, just because something is a homicide doesn't necessarily mean a criminal occurred.
Yep.
Here, I'll give you Dr. Ken on that. He's a former Milwaukee police lieutenant.
Their understanding of homicide and the criminal statute homicide can alter differently, because if you don't have the evidence, you can call anything anything. But if the evidence doesn't support it, it's not going to fly.
So the district attorney's office did issue a statement following that meeting with the family. It said the death is a tragedy. We extend our deepest condolences. That's from District Attorney John Chisholm. Milwaukee Police Department is actively investigating Mr. Mitchell's death. Today, our office met with the attorneys and the family. Continues, along with police investigators, we are awaiting the full results of an autopsy performed by the medical examiner's office. The results will inform the ongoing police investigation into Mitchell's death and allow our office to comprehensively evaluate the actions leading up to Mr. Mitchell's death from the perspective of potential criminal liability. So it's not charges, but it's not no charges. As Dr. Ken suggested, there's more evidence that they're gathering, more police work to do. No timeline given for answers to those questions. Check the tape. I told you it would happen. We'll do it in sports at 6:45.
You did. You did say so. In the American workplace, a new push to force companies to provide paid leave to all employees.
Activists yesterday delivered a petition with more than 55,000 signatures to members of Congress, demanding legislation that would allow workers nationwide to take paid time off for family or for medical reasons.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert there.
Recent data shows only 27% of private sector workers have access to paid family leave through their employer, and only 43% had short-term disability insurance. But critics say paid leave requirements would be government overreach and would force businesses to raise prices to pay for those benefits, likely passing on the extra costs to consumers.
It always comes back to the consumer, doesn't it?
Well, right, because do you think the CEOs of all these companies or the shareholders are going to say, like, well, I guess our profits will be down next year.
Right.
Too bad. No, they find a way that always trickles down to us, regardless of whether you think it's a good idea or not. You do. Every company has to allow you family or medical leave. They just don't have to pay you. Right. So everybody is entitled under the law to a certain
amount. Able to leave and save your job.
Yes. And that is part of the law, but they don't necessarily have to pay you. And that's what this is about.
Pennsylvania Congresswoman Chrissy Houlihan.
Paid leave is good for families. It's good for the economy. It's good for our country. It's good for national security.
Nothing to suggest at this point that anything will change or any legislation will be made. But 55,000 signatures sent to Congress.
Who do you got for hero today?
Ooh, it's a good one.
It's a good one?
This one deals with a runaway speedboat. We'll leave it at that.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Let's recognize an everyday hero on Wisconsin's Morning News. An everyday hero is when Wisconsin's Morning News celebrates an average John or Jane Doe, who had no idea that when they got up one morning, they'd be saving a life. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. Today, Vince, we head to Guilford, New Hampshire, Smith's Cove on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Winnipesaukee?
Yes.
Okay.
Sailboat practice.
It's a twin lake of Winnipesaukee.
Yeah, there's
right
a,
next
is
to
that right?
No.
Wow.
Totally
New Hampshire. Sailboat practice taking place in Smith's Cove. Sailing instructor is in a powerboat. Kid is in a little sailboat next to the powerboat, right? So the sail instructor can, like, go from boat to boat, give him a hand, point out some different things, whatever. Anyone who's done sailing knows that this happens quite often. So anyway, he's teaching this child how to sail, tells him how to grab the steering wheel a certain way. Sailing instructor lets go of the powerboat steering wheel to go point at something. That's when the kid's boat tips over. Mast from the sailboat comes down, hits the throttle on the powerboat, sends the instructor flying into the water as the boat hits a high speed. This is a boat race with no other boat and no one driving.
No.
So this empty boat speeding in a circle in this cove, it's a no-wake cove, and it's flying in circles. There's people everywhere. There's boaters. There's these sailboaters.
Here's, and I looked up and I could see this boat circling. And then, of course, looked at the vote, and there's nobody in it.
That's witness Rich Bono. He's speaking to WMUR News 9. So, captain overboard, boat speeding in circles, other boats, including kids, are all in this cove. 17-year-old Brady Pocan sitting on the porch right near the lake there when his neighbor yells to him.
So he jumped on his boat, told me to get on the jet ski to go get the kids out of the way.
So Pocan and his neighbor, his adult neighbor, helped the kids get, you know, kids away from that area. They get on this jet ski. They're driving around. The two are on the jet ski together, neighbor driving, the 17-year-old on the back. As the guy carefully drives next to the boat, the boat's flying in circles. This guy drives up next to it at the same speed. The teenager jumps into the powerboat and throttles it down. All is well. This incident caught on camera. Bono says the situation was dangerous. That was the witness involved.
If that boat was circling like that, it could have hit somebody.
Yeah, it totally could have hit someone and done some serious damage. What does the teenager think of all this?
I don't know. It just came to me. I didn't really think. I just did it.
No, you did not, because otherwise you might not have done that.
Right?
I'm realizing what I did a little bit. It scared me, but it was fun. Do it again.
You would do it again. Here's the best part. In just a couple of months, this 17-year-old will be leaving home. He's shipping off to the Navy.
They found the right guy at the right time, didn't they?
What would that be? Ensign? Is that what would he be? Is that... What's the name of the first...
entry level?
Yeah, entry level. Anyway, if you want to see the video of this kid jumping onto a powerboat that's moving in circles, just text the word HERO to the WDTMJ Talking text line, 855-616-1620. We'll send you the link with that video. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
At this time yesterday, Vince, this was said. Oh. All right, so one sound and two words can sum up Tuesday night at American Family Field. One sound, two words.
Boat race.
And there you have it. So today is Thursday. Vince, one sound and two words can describe Wednesday's game.
Boat race.
Yes. Brewers this time. The pendulum has swung the
reverse
other way.
The throttle.
And you called that one a mile away. You said this was going to happen.
Seen this as Brewers fans how many times? You put up, you know, double digits one night, and the next night you can't buy a hit. And Pittsburgh fans are feeling it today.
Undaunted. That's the word Pat Murphy put on T-shirts. He gave those to all the players on Wednesday after that game. Undaunted. And then look what happens. This guy, man, he knows how to manage. And by the way, Tobias Myers knows how to pitch. Amazing. 8 innings, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk, no runs.
This kid tonight, again, with Williams' guidance, this kid tonight was very, very good.
Yeah, Murphy gave a lot of the credit to Contreras for throwing catching just a great game as well. So Brewers win 9-0. A 3-run jack from Adames in the 8th inning put it away for good. Same teams this afternoon as they go for the rubber
day
game.
Baseball today.
Day right. Baseball matinee game.
6:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Friend of the program, ESPN Milwaukee's Jen Latta in-house.
Good morning,
yes,
gentlemen.
Good morning.
So summer times are tough to like find things to do with the kids, right? I've got this long list. Like, we go to the nature center, we go to the beach, we go to the zoo, we go to the beach.
Good for you.
Go
that's
to the
aggressive.
Beach. The beach. Yeah. And so the other day I took my two little girls, 6 and 4, and I said, why don't we go to the nail salon? We'll go get our nails done, right? So I called up the nail salon and I made an appointment for 4:30 for 3 people, 1 adult and 2 children. We get to the nail salon at 4:27. So not aggressively early, but also not late.
This is true.
And the gentleman says to us when we get there, it's just going to be a few moments. We had some walk-ins right before you. I look over and I'm like, okay, a few minutes, whatever. 30 minutes later, SpongeBob,
wow.
We're still sitting there waiting to get our nails done. Now I got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they're good at working on their patients, but they're not that good.
Yeah, good luck with
at
that.
Working on their patients. And so I said to the gentleman, why make an appointment if it's going to take 30 minutes and a walk-in can just jump the line?
Yes.
Was I wrong
to say
this? To say, like, and I was getting visibly frustrated, right? Like holding my hands and doing the thing where massage the little fleshy part between my thumb and finger, right? Like I'm doing this. And would you like some water? No. I would just like for us to get our nails done.
Somewhere near the time I plan to have done.
So that's an error on their part, right? Like if you make an appointment, even if there's a walk-in at the, and I know they don't want to turn money away, but shouldn't the technicians be reserved for the people who have appointments?
Absolutely, if you're on time, and it appears that you were.
Yeah, so we
go till 4:30. Maybe what was your appointment? 4:30?
Yeah.
So I give you till like 4:35. If you're not there, then we're bringing these walk-ins.
Correct.
And then say, I'm sorry, ma'am. You know, we had you at 4:30. These folks walked in. I wasn't sure. Okay.
So but, at what time would I have been? Well, like, what time do you lose your appointment? Is it 5 minutes then? You said 4:35.
5 minutes is not a long time, though. I mean, it could take you 5 minutes to walk in from the parking lot, maybe.
It could, but again, I guess I'm giving deference to the business degree, but at least if you're on time, no excuse for that.
So that's what the appointment is. Not staffed to handle the appointments that were booked and any potential walk-ins. So
if you're a walk-in, you expect to hear, sure, we can fit you in, but I've got a 4:30 here. We can do it after
that's
that,
what
right?
I thought. And look, I'm not going to death stare the ladies that walked into the nail salon.
Not
like,
their fault.
Oh, you can be passive aggressive if you want. That's fine. You've earned
I mean,
that.
They're just in the crosshairs of this bad planning.
You know what you should do is take to social media and blow up everyone.
But who
post pictures.
Who walks in anymore? I can't remember the last time I walked in for a haircut or for any kind of service. Even an oil change, I call that one in.
Excellent question. Who walks in anymore? Most people would call and say, do you have availability, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're taking such a gamble with your time that they can accommodate you. Anyway, it reminded me of that Seinfeld episode where he was like, you can take the reservation.
You can't keep or hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation.
Did you end up getting your nails
is
done?
The holding.
We did. And fortunately, we didn't have anywhere else
Let's
to be.
See.
It wasn't one
of
those
days. Do they look gorgeous?
Let me see. It's my toes, so I'm
oh,
not
toes. All right, so the dogs aren't out.
Shoes
right.
off
no, I wouldn't
in
ask
the
for that.
Studio. Good Lord. Anyway, so I just wanted to share with you guys a dilemma that we had earlier this week and remind people that the appointment takes precedent over the walk-in.
Next week, should they take a call while you're standing there? Right? You're talking to the person, the phone rings, they're like, excuse me a moment. I'm like, I'm here.
In the
Don't I get to go first? 6:57 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
I'm sorry, we have no midsize available at the moment.
I don't understand. I made a reservation. Do you have my reservation?
Yes, we do. Unfortunately, we ran out of cars.
But the reservation keeps the car here. That's why you have the reservations.
I know why we have reservations.
I don't think you do.